To help Ohio farmers and agribusinesses finance the upfront costs of this year's growing season, Ohio Treasurer Robert Sprague opened the application period for the AgLink program early. Hear more about the program and how you can apply for an interest rate reduction next. Rains that kept many farmers from planting corn and soybeans in a timely manner, or in some cases not planting at all, also cause headaches for forage producers. Find out about the quantity and quality issues livestock producers are facing with their forages coming up. Learn more about a young farm couple trying their hand at microgreens to the beat of agriculture. Ohio's state climatologist talks about the ever-changing weather patterns. And Franklin County Farm Bureau is recognizing local women in agriculture. Details later this hour.
From the Ohio Farm Bureau studio, this is our Ohio Weekly, highlighting those who grow our food, fiber, and fuel, while examining issues that are important for farmers and their neighbors throughout the Buckeye State. Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now with this week's news feed, here's our Ohio Weekly host, Ty Higgins.
One of the most important business decisions you'll make for your farming operation this year is whether you will use Farm Bill Program's Agriculture Risk Coverage, ARC, or Price Loss Coverage, PLC, for your operation in 2019 and 2020. According to Ohio FSA State Executive Director Leonard Hubert, failing to sign up could be costly.
If producers fail to elect either the ARC or the PLC by the March 16th deadline, they will not receive a 2019 payment, and their 2020 election will default to the prior farm bill election. So as you stated, Ty, it's probably the most important business decision a producer is going to make this year.
Ohio FSA offices will be seeing a higher volume of traffic as the sign-up deadline quickly approaches, so Hubert recommends farmers make an appointment to get their elections done.
What we have been encouraging and what we've been doing and asking producers to call the office immediately, there are local offices, and make an appointment to get signed up. And the other important piece about this is you can always get in the office, sign up, and then if you need to go back and change your election process, you can do that.
Farmers that are still unsure about the choice of ARC or PLC can utilize online decision tools from FSA and Ohio State to help them determine the best program election for their farming operation. Find those links at ofbf.org when you search Farm Bill. The latest Farm Bill added new programs for Conservation Reserve grasslands. Sign up for that begins in 2 weeks. AgLink has been supporting Ohio's farm community since 1986. The application period typically takes place early in the year prior to the start of the growing season. However, last year, Ohio Treasurer Robert Sprague reopened AgLink to alleviate some of the borrowing costs for farm operators as they work their way through a difficult year caused by extreme weather. The application period is open as we speak, so we'll find out more about it shortly, because in studio this week on Our Ohio Weekly is the Treasurer for the State of Ohio, Robert Sprague. Welcome.
Thank you, Ty.
Your first year as treasurer now in the books, how would you rate what you're able to accomplish, and was this job what you thought it would be?
You know, I think we did a good job this first year. We really battened down the hatches. We did a lot of the fundamental things, and you know, we came in and we said, look, we want to do three primary roles and objectives for the treasurer's office. We want to be trusted stewards of Ohio's taxpayer dollars, number one. Number two, we want to be wise investors in Ohio's future. And number three, we want to be bold innovators for the people of the state of Ohio. And I think we did a great job on all three of those fronts, one of which we're going to talk about today is the AgLink program.
Yeah, and I want to start out visiting about that, because there are so many farmers that really should know more about this AgLink program. Last year, as I mentioned, the ag industry hit with unforgiving weather patterns, deterred planting for 1.5 million acres of corn and soybean land across Ohio. Trade disputes hampered prices, continued low commodity prices. Break-even seemed to be the theme for farm country last year, but now we have a new year. There's need to find some working capital in order to get the seeds and the inputs needed to grow a new crop, and that's where AgLink can come in and be very, very helpful. Can you tell us more about the program and what it's all about?
Sure. The program is very simple. It's run out of the treasurer's office. A farmer goes and gets a planting loan up to $150,000. The loan could be used for things like fertilizer, seed, fuel, feed, and any other costs. You go to the local lending institution, get the loan for up to $150,000, and the treasury will actually, we will use our balance sheet, we'll put a deposit of up to $150,000 at that local lending institution, and we'll accept a below market interest rate on that investment, anywhere from a 1% to 3% reduction, and then that lending institution passes along to the farmer that 1% to 3% interest rate reduction. So it's a great way for us to use our balance sheet, reduce the cost to our farm community and help those farm families and agribusinesses, and it's easy to use. So I'd encourage anybody who's listening, you know, go onto our website, see how easy this product is to use. And I got to tell you, Farm Bureau has played actually an integral role in this. I remember when I was in the legislature, I worked with one of your liaisons, Beth Vanderkoy, actually, and we ended up dramatically increasing the cap, the total amount of loans that we're able to do through the AgLink program, and we doubled it at the time.
Wow.
And so we have a lot of capacity in our balance sheet that we would love to be able to use and help the farm community out. I'm from Northwest Ohio. I remember last year driving up as I drove back home every night, and you go through the fields and it was shocking, absolutely shocking, how many of the fields were not planted on time, and to watch so many of them fallow. And we know how hard the farm community has been hit with the trade war and so many of the other things, not shipping soybeans to China and so on and so forth. Anything that we can do to help in the treasurer's office, we want to be a part of that solution. So this is our way to contribute.
I've been a part of agriculture now for 43 years, and it seems like every year there's a challenge in one way, shape, or form. And when I talked about how this started back in 1986, you know, I was 10 years old, and interest rates were in the 20s at the time, and agriculture was not in a very good spot. And I have to imagine AgLink alleviated a lot of that pain back then. And you talk about 1% to 3%, that's real money.
It is. It adds up quickly. Anytime you can reduce your carrying costs, particularly for something like a planting loan, right, where that's essentially operating working capital, that's money in your pocket. That helps your profitability. It's a no-brainer. So it's just a way for us to make a contribution. I'd love to tell you about how, in terms of the size of the program, we helped 780 farmers last year. And we made new loans and help those loans of $86.5 million. So it's a substantial program, it's easy to use, and we're hopeful that people will take advantage of it this year. The window or the application period is open until March 20th.
What are the qualifications?
It's really simple. You just go to your local lending institution, and again, the cap is $150,000, and you have to be organized for profit. That's one of the qualifications.
Banks tend to like that, yeah.
They do, right? And and we encourage that too. That way they get their money back. So you got to be organized for profit. You must have a headquarters with 51% of the operations that are maintained in Ohio. I mean, if we're using the Ohio taxpayers' balance sheet to help farmers, we want to make sure that we're helping Ohio farmers. You must obtain an operating loan or a line of credit from a participating bank or a farm credit lender. So they actually have to apply to the treasurer's office to participate in being a lending institution under the program. You've got to use the loan exclusively for agricultural purposes. So you can't go out and buy the Ferrari. You got to use it for planting.
What if you tow the planter with the Ferrari?
That's fine. Yeah. That's in. And then you got to comply with all the program and the bank regulations. So it's an easy program to participate in. And we'd encourage your listeners to take advantage of it.
If you want to know more, it's very easy. If you log on to ofbf.org and just search AgLink, we have a couple of different links there. It'll take you where you need to go in order to find out more information. Visiting with the State Treasurer of Ohio, Robert Sprague, this week on Our Ohio Weekly. And there are so many other things besides AgLink that you head up. And you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago that your most important task is keeping track of taxpayer funds, making sure they're used properly. You've recently used that platform to change how young people handle their money as well with the Compass Award. Can you tell us more about that?
I'd love to. I'll tell you, so many of our young people, they have trouble when you're in high school. And by the way, I have 5 children, right? And so my oldest is a junior in high school. And so I can testify to this from some personal experience. They just don't tend to look at that next stage and think about what's going to happen in 2 years or 3 years. And when you begin to think about where you're going to be, then all of a sudden you realize what you're currently doing is very important. And you understand why it matters to study in school and what you're studying and how you're going to get to your eventual career. And so one of the purposes of financial literacy in our schools is to not just teach kids about the basics of how to manage money. I've got a great story about my son, Davis, who worked this last summer, and they did a direct deposit of his paycheck into the bank account. And he comes to me and he says, Dad, he said, how do I get the money out of the bank account? I said, well, you use a check. It's a checking account. He's like, what's a check? So you think about it today, finance, it's everybody's using credit cards. And so there's a lot of education that we need to do for our young people. But beyond those basic ideas about budgeting and how to use money, we're also recognizing those programs that are helping educate kids about that next step. If it's a career or a technical school, that's great. If it's a trade, that's great. If it's going into the family business and going into farming and helping dad with farming, that's great. Or if it's college, that's great too. But maybe we can help you navigate things so you don't graduate with a crippling amount of student loan debt. So these programs are extremely influential. And I've got to say, we were just in Arlington High School 2 days ago, which is in the farm community in Northwest Ohio in Hancock County. And they're doing one of the best jobs in the state in terms of helping their young people get ready for that next stage. So this applies to big schools. It applies to small schools. We all want what's best for our children, and we want them to be able to take that next step.
My daughter's a sophomore, and I know what you mean. They don't know a lot about what we don't know about, but I didn't know what a Venmo account was until my daughter was a sophomore in high school. So we all learned something from each other, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have one.
So another program that I'd like to talk about, it's called Grow Now, and it makes borrowing more affordable for Ohio's small businesses. So talk about the goal of Grow Now.
So many times our small business owners go and they need another source of financing. They go to their local lending institution, and the Grow Now program works very similar to the Ag Link program. It's a link deposit program, helps us lower interest rates for small businesses to buy that new piece of capital equipment. We have a re-energize program as well as our Grow Now program. We have our Re-Energize Ohio program, which is also a link deposit program. And that even helps people with natural disasters. And I know a little bit about that coming from Northwest Ohio. We had a 100-year flood on August 20th of 2007. I still remember because I was auditor for the city of Findlay that day during that time. And so it left a big impression. But, those abilities to go out and help communities rebuild after a natural disaster or help a small business finance that new piece of capital equipment means that we're making a difference in our communities.
So how do small businesses know if they're qualified, or how can they find out more about those two programs?
They can go to the ohiotreasurer.gov website and look at our link deposit programs for Grow Now and Re-Energize Ohio and look at the qualifications there. There's a loan limit. You've got to be under $400,000. And then there's a list of qualifying expenses for which you can take the loan out for.
We covered a lot of ground in a little bit of time between the Grow Now program, the Re-Energize Ohio program, the Stable Account, and Ag Link. If someone wants more information about any of those programs, I suppose there's one place to go.
They can. I'll tell you, they can always go to the Treasurer website, www.ohiotreasurer.gov. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Robert Sprague, Treasurer for the State of Ohio, thank you for being our guest. Great to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
More Our Ohio Weekly after this. With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Look at this house, Brad. just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Products availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Are you a small business owner supporting and involved with agriculture such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Then search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, fixed monthly payments, and a variety of plan designs to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
From water quality to the farm economy to over-regulation, farmers are facing a lot of challenges. That's why Farm Bureau is there when you can't be. While you're doing chores in the barn, planting seeds in the tractor, or herding livestock in the pasture, your Ohio Farm Bureau is tracking important cases at the courthouse, talking with lawmakers at the State House and on Capitol Hill. Farm Bureau represents you. They are there when you can't be. Become a member or renew your membership today by contacting your county Farm Bureau or by visiting ofbf.org.
More of Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins next.
Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. The impact of an unusually wet spring last year is still being felt by Ohio's livestock producers. The delayed start to harvest also affected the quality of forages. The first cutting yields the highest tonnage, but the lowest quality. Throughout the growing season, the crop gets better with each cutting. In 2019, about 75% of the total forage production came with the first cutting, putting the later high-quality product at a premium. Alan Gaylor is with Ohio State Extension. He's an educator for ag and natural resources in Sandusky County. Alan, would you mind just recapping 2019 as far as forage production? Because I know that's a big part of your farm, and kind of walk me through. I know that it was miserable for the corn and bean and wheat guys. Forages probably didn't end up much better.
Actually, in my mind, worse, because a lot of the corn and bean ground had surprisingly good yields despite the challenges we had, even though not all the acres were planted. But forages, we couldn't get started until July, essentially. So we gave up a significant amount of tonnage right off the bat by not making our first cutting until then. Even though we had an abundance of first cutting, the calendar did not allow us to harvest as many times as we normally would. And the quality was substantially lower on the majority of it as well. So it's a double-edged sword with the forages of low quality and low tonnages. First cutting is high tonnage, but low quality. The crop gets better with each successive cutting in the year. So by delaying that first cutting until July, our first cutting, which is already our lowest quality, was significantly lower than normal, and it accounted for almost 75% of our production this year. So we had a highly inferior product that accounted for majority of our production.
In a normal year, how many cuttings would you get, and how many did you get last year?
Typically, most alfalfa fields, at least, are set up for a four-cut system. On average, I would say your Northwest Ohio grower gets three cuttings, and if they get a fourth cutting off of some of their acres, that's a bonus. Last year, on our farm specifically, we completed three cuttings on about 60% of our acres, and the rest, we only made two cuttings.
You mentioned that 2019 for forages, it was not just a quantity problem, but a quality problem. How are we seeing that come to fruition now that we're in the dead of winter?
It's a really big problem for dairies, because what little bit of high quality hay is out there is obviously, as the supply and demand chain works, it's in very high demand, very low supply. So it's driven the value of it up significantly. Dairy farmers cannot compete with the people that raise horses to pay for that good quality hay. So the dairy farmers are struggling to find the right type of feed that'll continue to increase their milk production and give them the components they need. They simply can't afford what their normal input is of high-quality alfalfa.
Are there any concerns out there that farmers don't realize the nutrient value of some forages, and they might be feeding them out and having some negative results because of it?
Absolutely. Just like one of the old sayings in the agronomy world of don't guess, you need to soil test, same thing applies with farmers feeding forages. And we see this much more in the beef, sheep, and goat side of things. If you do not test your forages, you have no idea what you're feeding. Color does not mean much of anything. The look and the feel can help us somewhat. But until we have a test to match the protein needs and the energy needs and the mineral needs of whatever production group we're feeding, we don't know if we're giving them the right amount of nutrients. And what we saw in the winter of 2018 and 19 was low-quality forages being fed without guys knowing what the content was. And there were essentially cows that were dying of starvation, even though their belly was full, because they could consume 40 or 50 pounds of forage in a day, but there wasn't enough content of that 40 or 50 pounds to give them the nutrients they needed.
How much are we seeing that, or how much of a concern that we may see that this year?
I don't think it's probably near as much of a concern, because a lot of guys learned lessons from last winter, but there's also a significant amount of guys who still go through the same way they've always done it, and they go out and make round bales, and they store them outside, so they're continually breaking down, and they just continually put a round bale out in the feeder, and as long as their cows are fed, they think everything's okay. I've not heard any major disasters yet this year, but when we'll really start to see that is when we get to the peak of calving season around March, and then we start to have issues and cows that will start to significantly lose body condition, will not return to estrus to come in to breed, and we'll start to see the production losses at that point. So unfortunately, we won't really know that story until after it happens.
I know the answer to the question, but how has the hay market been impacted? What kind of prices are you hearing, and how far out of the state are some farmers going to get what they need?
There's been guys shipping stuff in from what we call Western hay, which means the hay grown on center pivots in Colorado, Nebraska, Kansas, those areas. There's been guys that have been shipping that in since early last fall, when they already knew how short the forages were in Ohio and that they couldn't find high quality. And what that's done is that's maybe not necessarily driven the Ohio market quite as much as simply the shortage. But hay prices, I would say, to give you a round guess on average of where they are compared to last year, probably 25% higher. In some cases, for second, third, fourth cutting hay that's high quality, maybe even as much as 50% higher. Producers, just like we mentioned a couple questions back, understanding what nutrients their cattle need to be taking in and finding out if their current feedstuffs have the required nutrients. Try to put that into an economic standpoint of figure out which nutrients are the most economical to purchase, not just what's convenient and readily available, but doing some research. And maybe it's not just going to shelled corn or a different type of hay. It might be buying a different product that they're not used to and having to find a new way of doing things in order to survive economically when the feedstuffs are as high of value as they are.
That's Alan Gaylor with OSU Extension. Read more about this issue at ofbf.org. Our Ohio Weekly continues after this. Thanks for listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, and it's time for To the Beat of Agriculture. This week, we'll hear from a young couple whose idea with small plants is now literally a growing operation. Sometimes all it takes is the faith of a mustard seed, or in this case, a microgreen.
Tyrone Brandon, Tuscarawas County.
And I'm his wife, Megan. We serve on the Ohio Young Ag Professionals State Committee.
It was about 5 years ago, on our way home from one of these
winter leadership
experiences, we got to talking about what we were going to do, and here we are now. I mean, we started to farm a couple weeks later, started an LLC, and chickens, laying hens, broilers, and all kinds of produce, and an apiary.
So I can remember specifically talking to you on the way home. We were so excited when we left the conference, and I was like, okay, we both love agriculture. Tyrone was in FFA. We were both in 4-H. We're 4-H sweethearts. We're not high school sweethearts, you know. So we were kind of thinking, we're in a good place in life. So let's go broke starting a farm. So we decided, you know, what do we both love to do? What would be affordable for us? You know, we're both very business-minded, so we wanted something that we could start and then grow. So we did a lot of research on things, and I always have a huge garden. I love to grow things from seed. Part of our operation now is a nursery, and so we grow specialty heirloom tomatoes and super, super hot peppers and herbs. But one of our specialty things that we do is microgreens. And so a lot of people don't know about microgreens.
No, we actually had someone come up to us and tell us, you guys need to start growing them. So we had to look up and see what they were. And then it's like, yeah, we can grow them. They're just baby plants.
So what a microgreen is actually when you plant a seed, it germinates and then it sprouts. The first two leaves that come out are the cotyledon stage of the plant. And what that is that's essentially like the mother's milk of the plant. And it nourishes the plant so that the true leaves can pop up through the middle and grow a full-size plant. And what we do is we don't allow that to grow true leaves. We cut the microgreens off at the cotyledon stage so that all of that nourishment that would be used to grow the plant is actually ingested by you, the consumer.
Microgreens actually have just as much or more nutritional value than a full-grown plant. And you can use almost any plant as a microgreen other than your nightshades like tomatoes and peppers.
The best part about having the microgreens, we actually grow in soil. We don't use alternative ingredients like hemp mats or anything like that. But we are able to actually compost and reuse our soil after we're done with the microgreens. Anything that's maybe not used by a consumer, we feed to our chickens. We have vermicomposting bins at home, so everything basically just gets recycled and reused, and there's essentially no waste. We compost our chicken manures, and it goes back into that soil, and so we just have this big cycle of no waste and, you know, just growing healthy things for people.
Got to growing and contacted a few restaurants and they said, sure, we'll take some. So we sold to a few restaurants.
And then a few more.
And yeah, it just kind of took off from there.
You know, there's actually a lot of licensing involved in that because it's not like an herb where you just snip and you're allowed to sell it. You actually have to have like an ODA license to have you have to have a commercial kitchen that you can use and everything else. So that's been kind of some of our challenges, but now we've kind of moved into a different phase of that where we actually sell live trays.
When we sell the live trays, you just deliver the tray of the microgreens to the restaurant and then they can snip them and put them on the plates as they need them. And then you don't have the risk of the microgreen going bad in the fridge because of just sitting there for a week or a couple days.
And the consumer at the restaurant gets the freshest possible ingredient that they can possibly get when they're literally being cut and put on your, washed and put on your plate.
From microfield to plate.
So being a young ag professional to me really means that you are just getting started in your own right. It may be that you're coming from a family farm, and it may be like us where you're just a first generation farmer and you're putting it all on the line and starting something for the passion of agriculture. We'll do workshops at our farm. We do some things even in the winter. I do like themed classes like micro cocktails and things like that at our farm just to kind of get people interested and start that conversation with young people in agriculture.
And last year there around the 4th of July, we actually done
some
of the microgreens when they first start growing, they're different colors. So we done a red, white, and blue microgreen class.
Yeah, we used a bluish purple basil, bull's blood beets. And when you actually grow corn microgreens, I don't know if you've ever heard of a corn microgreen. It's one of my favorite things on the planet. You gotta try them. So they are actually grown in complete deprivation of sunlight, and so they are white. And so that was our white in the red, white, and blue.
And the corn, it actually tastes, I mean, you're just eating a little sprout, but it tastes like a sweet corn. So like you're eating a spoonful of sweet corn. It's pretty good.
It's the sweetest thing you will ever have. You could actually use it as an artificial sweetener. The microgreens especially, they're very time consuming. Tyrone and I actually spend a lot of time together. It's a family affair, and it's something that as young people, this is something that allows us to be together and be a family.
If you're between the ages of 18 and 35 and are interested in joining Ohio Farm Bureau, visit online at ofbf.org. That's ofbf.org, and search for Young Ag Professionals. We'll continue right after this on Our Ohio Weekly.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that? A crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Products availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
Hi, this is John Merrihew, Director of Member Services for the Ohio Farm Bureau. Case IH is a proud supporter of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Working to build strong, prosperous agricultural communities, the Ohio Farm Bureau protects the future of your farm and your neighbor's farms all year long. And thanks to this strong partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount up to $500 on qualifying Case IH equipment. Choose from Case IH Farmall Series tractors, including Compact, Utility, and 100 A-Series, and Maxim Series tractors as well. Plus, save on hay and forage equipment like self-propelled windrowers, mower conditioners, and large square round balers. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. And it's available for every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. Join Ohio Farm Bureau today to pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount by visiting ofbf.org.
Stick around. Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins continues following these messages.
Thank you for making Our Ohio Weekly a part of your weekend. I'm Ty Higgins. Aaron Wilson is the Senior Research Associate with OSU Extension at the Bird Polar and Climate Research Center. He was recently with Jordan Haywisher for the Field Day podcast here at Ohio Farm Bureau. They talked a lot about the weather and the changing climate and also about technologies in his industry and how far it's come as far as giving us long-term forecasts.
Absolutely, the skill of the forecast has improved. You know, I mean, if you go back to the 60s or 70s and you want a five-day forecast, that was going to be very challenging. We do five-day forecast very accurately at this point. I always tell people, you know, generally here a storm in Ohio, if we think about a storm system, that storm could be coming off, you know, Japan. In 5 days, it'll be here. Now, that's a long distance to change, to cover, to interact with other parts of the world. And so that predictability is kind of difficult. But certainly that's changed. The other thing is just I've always regarded farmers as the best to talk to about weather data. Because if you want to ask them what happened, they're going to give you the temperature to the 10th degree, and they're going to give you precip to the 100th degree. And there really is no other sector that will talk to me about weather that way. And I absolutely love it. But there's a thirst for precise data. We talk about precision ag. We talk about that application. I think there's a desire to have a forecast capability that right now is beyond what our forecasting limits are. Down to the field level. We're trending there. I'm not saying we're not going to get there. I think that I would like to hope that we'll continue to improve, you know, maybe little by little. But there's a big thirst for that precise weather data to match the precision tech that we have for agriculture. So it's a little bit of combination of that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think farmers do utilize some pretty high tech, or at least some weather predictors that are a little bit better than what, like your local news or sure. whatever. And I think it was you that mentioned this, and because someone asked you in one of the meetings I think we were in about the sensationalizing of storm systems and like names. Was that you? They're talking about like where the bomb cyclone
sure.
and like all those. I mean, things that I feel like have always been present but never officially got a tag, like the derecho or whatever, the straight line storm systems. And I feel like it helps. you know, lay people like myself understand, I think, and categorize them. But I still think the sensationalizing of the storms is pretty interesting.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, you start hearing it more and more, right? We have a storm system that came in the West Coast yesterday. And so I saw a news outlet calling it a bomb cyclone. Like, traditionally, it was described for systems off the Northeast coast that essentially bomb out. In other words, the central pressure drops 24 millibars in 24 hours, which is just a signal of intense, you know, strong intensification. But we see a lot more of these right now. Polar vortex is another thing. You know, we see these cold air outbreaks in the wintertime. Pieces of the essentially that polar vortex kind of slide toward the south and the two continents, Eurasia and North America, and it keeps us a little, you know, we're cold. We have the cold air outbreak and all of these other things that happen. Flash drought's another one that's become really popular of late.
I haven't heard that one
yet. Yeah, so I mean, it certainly has a useful definition where you use it in meteorological arenas a lot to describe the onset of the drought. So for instance, here in Ohio, in a year where we had back-to-back-to-back-to-back 12-month wettest periods on record, we had moderate drought conditions over parts of southwest Ohio, the same regions that picked up 15, 20 inches of rain in the spring. We're in drought by August. Because they only, you know, places like Huber Heights or even up into Dark County, Miami County, where they saw 4.5 inches of rain between July 1st and October 31st. So it's very much describing these drought conditions that are moving in very rapidly. Kentucky was a lot worse than we were. They had a lot of impacts on ponds and livestock. But these are terms, obviously, that once they hit that the media outlets, they become really entrenched in almost the modern day weather folklore, I guess, is the way to look at it.
No, that's funny. So you talked about, you know, kind of the counterbalance between having those heavy rains, and you had mentioned earlier about the amounts of rain that we're mm-hmm. getting. So talk to me, how is that trend of the total precip over a year? How has that changed over time?
Yeah, so the latest National Climate Assessment that came out last year, the fourth assessment, looked at trends and was comparing the modern day period represented by like 1986 to 2016 with the early 20th century. And what we found is across the country, it's precipitation's up about 4%. A lot of that is in the Midwest and Eastern and Southeast portions of the country. Closer to home here in Ohio, those trends over that period are about 5 to 15%. We've got areas that are up almost 15%. So what that means is that every year we're seeing, on average, you know, an additional 3 to 4 inches of rainfall per year than what maybe our grandfathers did in the early part of the 20th century. So that's just an overall annual trend. But as I mentioned, the two seasons, really fall trends are up 10 to 15% across the state. We've got a lot of spring rainfall up as well, and even slight winter precipitation up. And then if you look at our summertime trends, a lot of places are flat to even negative trends, especially as we get into late summer, later July, August, and September. We've actually seen flat trends or a little bit decreasing trends. And so, you know, I ask a lot of farmers, what's the worst combination? It's a wet, cold spring, it's a hot, dry summer, and it's a wet fall, impacting planting, impacting harvest, and then not enough rainfall during the growing season. And that's really where our trends have moved. That we've moved into that kind of scenario. So, and then that, just the amount of rainfall combined with more intense rainfall events.
Hear more thoughts from weather scientist Aaron Wilson with Ohio State with the Field Day Podcast at ofbf.org. Our Ohio Weekly continues after this. Show your Ohio Farm Bureau pride with a new t-shirt, hat, or hoodie. Available now at ofbf.org/shop. The new Farm Bureau logo is now featured on a full line of clothing for men, women, kids, and babies. You can even add the Farm Bureau mark on water bottles, mugs, cell phone cases, and more. All from one spot. ofbf.org/shop. A bandana for the dog, a pillow for the couch, or an apron for the grill master. ofbf.org/shop. That's ofbf.org/shop.
$500 in bonus cash on eligible Ford vehicles. $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. All it takes is to be or become a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Bonus cash applies to purchases and leases. For all the program requirements and details, visit ofbf.org. Big bonus cash on new Fords and Lincolns exclusively for Ohio Farm Bureau members. Visit ofbf.org.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car-home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Are you a small business owner supporting agriculture, such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, and a variety of plans designed to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Ohio Farm Bureau is taking over Nationwide Arena March 14th as the Blue Jackets host the Nashville Predators. Farm Bureau members receive an exclusive ticket rate for the game and can support the Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation at the same time. The Blue Jackets will donate back $5 to the foundation for every ticket Farm Bureau members purchase. The first 300 people who purchase a ticket will receive a limited edition co-branded Ohio Farm Bureau Columbus Blue Jackets winter hat. Log on to bluejackets.com/OFBF for more details. bluejackets.com/OFBF.
Don't go far. More of Our Ohio Weekly with Ty Higgins is on the way.
This is Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. Coming up next weekend, a very special event for farm bureaus here in Central Ohio. They are celebrating women who devote their time and talents to the agriculture industry. Kylene Deidemeyer is my guest. And Kylene, the Women of Ag Brunch, a very special event every single year. Tell me more about it.
We're really excited to offer this event again. It's been going on for 15, 20 years. In the past couple years, we extended the invitation to family and friends that support women in ag. It used to only be a women-only event, and so in the past couple years, we've broadened out the audience so we can include those family members that are active and, again, support the women in agriculture.
It's coming up on March 7th. It's going to be in Lewis Center at the Nationwide Hotel and Conference Center, the Women of Ag Brunch being hosted by Central Ohio Farm Bureaus. What counties are involved in this?
Franklin, Union, Delaware, and Madison.
One of the great things about this event is every single year a woman in ag is recognized for what they do for not just agriculture as an industry, but agriculture as a community. Dorothy Palanda is the very first female director of agriculture with the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Her first year was 2019, and it was not an easy year to be a director of agriculture here in the Buckeye State with over 1.5 million acres of corn and soybeans going unplanted due to a wet spring and then a dry, hot summer. Things weren't great across Ohio last year, but the way she traveled the state, the way she handled things, the way she represented agriculture as a whole certainly makes her well-deserving of this award, and you're going to be honoring her on Saturday.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to doing that. And as you just spoke about all her accomplishments in her first year at that position, but also as the first woman to serve as the director in the department's history, it's really neat that we get to honor her amongst her peers, counterparts, as well as family and friends in the ag community.
Besides having the director there, you also have keynote speakers every single year that bring a great message. Who is that this year?
So this year we're excited to have Ashton Walls. She's a livestock farmer and the recipient of the 2019 Excellence in Agriculture Award from Ohio Farm Bureau. She will share her journey as a farmer and her thoughts on the future of agriculture.
How can people get tickets?
You can get them online through the Eventbrite app. And then also look for an email coming from Central Ohio Farm Bureau offices.
Make sure and get those tickets by March 2nd. The event is coming up on March 7th. The Women of Ag Brunch at the Nationwide Hotel and Conference Center in Lewis Center, hosted by Central Ohio Farm Bureau's Kylene Deidemeyer, my guest. She'll be at the event where they are going to celebrate the Director of Agriculture, Dorothy Palanda, the 2020 Ag Woman of the Year. Thank you, Kylene.
Thanks, Ty.
It's time for this week's tirade. It always amazes me how farmers never get attention for supplying the world with the safest and most affordable food. They truly never ask for that kind of attention. They simply wake up every morning, do the chores, get the job done, and expect everyone else, no matter your profession, to do the same. They've been getting quite a bit of attention lately, however, from those who think they have a platform to tell farmers how to do their jobs, despite never stepping foot on a farm themselves. Whether it be a coffee conglomerate, or an actor on an award show, or a politician running for president, farmers are being told how to grow food by those who can't even cook their own. Why would a latte joint that uses energy to build a store at every mile, ship products with big rigs to those stores every day, power all those coffee shops for 18 hours a day, and serve millions of people waiting for millions of hours in the drive-thru burning fuel to tell a single dairy farmer they're doing it all wrong when it comes to carbon emissions? With livestock production accounting for about 4% of greenhouse gas emissions, counter that with the transportation, power, and industry sectors, all adding up to 80% of greenhouse gas emissions produced in the U.S., it just doesn't make sense. If a Hollywood superstar wants to keep wholesome milk out of his fridge, fine. But why would he push an agenda that would keep so many young people from the calcium they need in order to become healthy, strong adults? He truly is joking. And candidates for president should choose their words more carefully when they imply farmers lack the gray matter to do anything more than farm. Maybe a trip to a farm would put their view in a whole new perspective. Dwight Eisenhower said it best, "You know, farming looks mighty easy when your plow is a pencil and you're 1,000 miles from the cornfield." Special thanks to Ohio Treasurer Robert Sprague for stopping by to visit more about the Ag Link program. You can find out more about that online at ofbf.org. Just search Ag Link. Aaron Wilson, the state climatologist with Ohio State, visiting on Field Day with Jordan Haywisher. That podcast available on our website as well. And thanks to the Brannons, Tyrone and Megan, talking about their microgreens operation to the beat of agriculture. Anything you missed? Find it online, ofbf.org/OurOhioWeekly.
Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side and produced by Ohio Farm Bureau, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities.
I'm Ty Higgins. We'll see you down the road.